Welcome to today's podcast. This is Robert Kurtz, editor of Becker's ASC Review and Becker's Hospital Review. Today I am pleased to be joined by Jeanette Brown, Director of Business Development for Somnia Anesthesia. I'll be asking Ms. Brown 5 questions pertaining to the topic of the anesthesia request for proposal process. Jeanette, thank you for taking the time to speak with me to share your expertise with our readers.
Rod, thank you for having us participate in this podcast. We're very excited to be a resource for Becker's, and we hope everyone finds it very useful.
Thank you. I'm sure they will. Let's get into the first question. I know Somnia has recently published a new resource document for hospitals that describes best practices for the anesthesia request for proposal process. Can you discuss why is this process so critical when exploring a change in anesthesia providers?
The RFP process is critical for a few reasons. First, changing an anesthesia provider is a very big undertaking, and the process that leads a hospital to make a change should be as well thought out as the decision itself. So the RFP method streamlines the evaluation process and helps ensure that you gather and evaluate the same information from each organization responding. So you really are setting a level playing field. Also, the process itself brings key stakeholders from the hospital's C-suite, their back offices, the ORs, brings them all together to assess the current anesthesia service. This type of representation from different areas of the hospital and different departments of all different organizational levels working collaboratively together on this initiative is a very good learning and team building experience for the people involved, and that's very important as well when it comes to making a decision that's going to impact many different types and levels of people. Lastly, I would say on average, about 70% of the hospital's revenue is generated from the OR, so taking the time to measure and evaluate the anesthesia service, which impacts the majority of the cases performed in the OR, is critical to the hospital's success. With Medicare's new value-based purchasing program, anesthesia has a direct impact on 4 of the 12 process of care and patient experience measures. So basically, 33% of the hospital dollars are at risk if anesthesia is not performing as needed. So that being said, making sure the process by which you evaluate anesthesia options is thorough and provides information that meets the hospital goals is paramount to the hospital's continued success.
Thank you. That leads well into my next question. How can the RFP process help an organization beyond just identifying alternatives to their current anesthesia provider?
It's a very good question, and the RFP process allows organizations a glimpse into understanding how anesthesia departments are functioning in other hospitals. That's also very important when you're looking at your own hospital to understand what's being done outside in other institutions. So you'll find out what services are other anesthesia groups providing and how is this beneficial to the hospital and its patients. Is the staffing model I have in place the best one for my facility? And what are my other options? What are the other groups doing to improve the PAT process or turnover time in their ORs? And also, if I'm paying a subsidy, is it in line with the services rendered? And is it based on the providers of the anesthesia group receiving fair market value compensation, or are they receiving extremely high compensation or extremely low? And I would say that you want to understand if the current department is capturing the anesthesia revenue that they should be. Billing and coding is always changing. Anesthesia billing is something that's a bit like hieroglyphics, so I think having a very good team with good resources and the ability to work with the payers and make sure that they are capturing the revenue is also going to impact the overall service being provided. So all this information combined will help a hospital understand where their service stands to not only similarly sized hospitals, but hospitals across the country, even with different scopes of service.
Where have you seen organizations struggle with maximizing these benefits of the process?
Well, I think that in addition to what we've been saying so far, communication and expectations is very important when you're going through this process. You want to make sure that you are involving the key people, the nursing staff, the surgeons, the OR staff, to understand what's currently working well, what needs improvement, and this way you can also see if you're going to be able to meet everyone else's needs in your organization. So if the hospital does not take time up front to do this due diligence, then you're not getting started really on the right foot. And you really have to take the time to compile and verify the data that you are going to be providing to these potential respondents, and because you need to make sure, it's like the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. If you're not giving them the accurate amount of anesthetizing locations that they will need to cover, or if you're not making sure that you have an understanding of what off-the-floor locations might need to be covered, then they're not going to be able to give you the best response or proposal. So the anesthesia detail that you provide, the call needs, first call, second call, on-site call, how often will the group be called in? An average, obviously, based on the last few years' history. The payer mix detail, what your OR minutes were. All this information should be accurate, and it should be provided to the in the RFP process so the responses can be as accurate as possible.
Thank you. What are some other key steps organizations need to take with their RFP process to avoid the shortcomings you noted earlier?
Well, they have to allow for an appropriate time frame for the process to take place. And they really have to make sure that they have the key stakeholders involved in the process. And that means everyone from your, and it might be your anesthesia support personnel, whether it's a tech, it's definitely your nursing staff, it's your chief of surgery, it's the important people in your C-suite, it's your quality officer. All these people need to be involved in the process because they're all impacted on a daily basis, and they all will be able to shed light on how things are currently working. You really have to have, like I said before, the content in the RFP be thorough and accurate, and it has to represent really the selection criteria that the hospital is using. It has to be able to generate the responses that will allow the hospital to say, here's an organization who can potentially help us meet our goals. And you have to have a large enough pool of respondents to add value to the selection process. It doesn't help if you just call the other hospital group down the street. It's not going to give you really an idea of what your options are. You should be looking at national organizations, you should be looking at a local organization, you should be making sure that whether it's through various associations that you speak with people to say, are you satisfied with your anesthesia group or your anesthesia management company and would you recommend them? And then make sure that when you're doing the research that you have at least five people included in this process.
Thank you. For my final question, I'd like you to discuss how long the RFP process should take. When would an organization know it has committed the right amount of time to this process?
Well, in the white paper that we issued, we really detail this out. But overall, the process should take about 6 months in its entirety. And that means that the issue date for the RFP should occur about 4 months before the targeted deadline. But this is something that can easily get overlooked and, again, get a facility off on the wrong foot. You really have to understand when your contract is expiring and what does that contract say. What is the language in the contract on when you have to give notice? Because if you have to give notice to the group 120 days prior or 180 days prior, then you have to have a decision 180 days prior. So that means 6 months before your contract is even up, you would have had to have chosen either to stay with the existing group or renegotiated a new contract or made a switch. So it's important to really start from your contract and understand when you have to have a decision by, and then work your way from that point. And again, like I said, the issue date for the RFP should be 3 to 4 months before your targeted deadline of having a decision in place.
Thank you, Jeanette, for your time and insight. You can learn more about Jeanette Insomnia Anesthesia at www.somniaanesthesiaservices.com. That's www.somniaanesthesiaservices.com. Or you can contact Jeanette directly at jbrown, B-R-O-W-N, at Somnia Inc., SOMNIAINC.com, or by calling 877-795-5788. If you have any feedback on this program or requests for future podcast topics, please feel free to email me at rob, R-O-B, at BeckersHealthcare.com. And please make sure to regularly visit Becker's ASC Review and Becker's Hospital Review for the latest business, legal, and clinical news and guidance for ambulatory surgery centers and hospitals and health systems. Thank you for joining us.